Well, good morning once again, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. I'd like to begin by reading the devotional from yesterday. Some of you may have already read it or listened to it on the website, but it is the fitting introduction to this morning's sermon. And that devotional, which I wrote for yesterday, is entitled Mourning Over the Condition of the Nation. The text is taken from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, and verse 3. And it reads, "Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire?" You know, Nehemiah was among the dispersion of the Jews in the days of the pinnacle of Medo-Persian power. The Persian Empire was the second great empire in world history, biblically speaking, Babylonian being the first. Nehemiah was also a man of great faith and prayer. And we see that throughout the book that bears his name. He served as a cupbearer to the king, a position in which he was privileged to have the audience of the earthly monarch. Having heard the report of his brethren regarding the sad state of things in Jerusalem, in Israel, in the city and the nation which he loved, Nehemiah redoubles his effort in prayer, and he seeks a means to take action to remedy the situation as much as he is able to do. He was in a very unique position for such a time as this. He had standing with regard to the earthly powers, and he also had standing with regard to the heavenly power. Now, when we read and we watch the news, it saddens those of us who love the USA and what it stands for constitutionally: freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, liberty, justice, and so forth. We look at what is happening in and to our cities. They are being laid waste and burned with fire. There are those who would like to do the same to the entire country. And they would like to lay waste and burn with fire the rights of those who wish to live in a free and peaceful, law-abiding land. Take a trip in your mind's eye to the Veterans Cemetery, the place of my father's tombs, in the language of Nehemiah. Have these men and women died in vain? I should think and hope not. So Independence Day is a day of celebration of the greatness of our nation. But at the same time, it's bittersweet this year. It is also a day when we mourn over her condition. The rioters are burning the gates of our cities, and they are destroying for destruction's sake. They are pawns of Satan. They know not what they do. The killing mills with the whitewashed names, they call them abortion clinics, testifies to the sinfulness which infests our nation. To those who support the barbaric murder of innocent babies, truly it may be said that for them, all lives do not matter. Tragedy, depths of depravity, and knows no bounds in the fallen human condition. But friends, I'd like to close this out the way that the Old Testament prophets would close out their books. They'd start with a little bit of an introduction, and then they would go on and on. And we read these things, and it's a lot of doom and gloom, a lot of warnings to the nation of Israel and to the individuals who have not yet repented. The end is not yet. The only thing staving off further allowed divine judgments are that there are still Bible-believing Christians. There is still enough salt and light in this nation to preserve it. And the other thing is our brother has brought out many times before is our support for the nation of Israel is something that sustains the nation. In the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, the Lord promises that those who bless Israel will be blessed and those who curse Israel will be cursed. Those two things are holding this nation together by a thread. And I don't know what that number is that we got to go below for the Lord to finally bring forth judgment upon this nation. But I hope that even as some drift into apostasy and walk away from the Lord, that a revival occurs in our midst. And that number grows more and more. One person at a time. That is how the Lord brings about conversion in the land. So let us pray for this today. We prayed for this morning. God bless America. And there are churches that shamefully decried at him and will not play it. For whatever political, ideologically motivated reason, it's not a biblically motivated one, I can tell you that. God bless America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So now this morning, we move into our sermon, our second revival sermon. Last week was the first. This is the preparation for Revival 2020. We're going to have two more services on Saturday. There'll be eight different sermons from various places from the Word of God. We'll be challenged with regard to our prayer lives, our attentiveness to the Word of God, our conduct, in our effort and desire to win souls. Our text this morning is taken from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Our first point, the who in our text. We shall start with the Lord. The Lord added. We read that this holy work of salvation was wrought by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Granted, it was wrought through the faithful few who were assembled in the upper room at Jerusalem. And then the Holy Spirit came upon them, and when that happened, they went out and they preached Jesus Christ with power. And they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. A Sabbath day's journey was 3,000 feet, a little over half a mile. And the Jews had a law in their oral law in the Talmud that said that you could not journey beyond that particular distance on the Sabbath. And this was one of the laws which dealt with work on the Sabbath. And it's kind of interesting because just like every other law, they found ways around it. They said, well, I actually journeyed 6,000 feet, so I journeyed twice today on the Sabbath, and therefore I did not break the law of the Sabbath. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. And there were not only men there that day. We read with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is a reference to the half-brothers of our Lord Jesus Christ, James and Jude, who wrote the books which bear their name among them. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so, through and through, all of the work that day was the work of God. And it was made possible through the work of God the Son. But you know those TV commercials? You see, you know, this program was paid for, like if you watch PBS. Your salvation was paid for in full by God the Son through his death, his burial, and his resurrection bodily. And that, my friends, ensured that there could be salvation from sin. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. One plants the gospel seed, another waters it, but God gives the increase. And the Lord added to the church that day. He added to the church that day those who were being saved. And they were added in droves. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It was the effectual preaching of the word of God through which many were saved that day. In particular, the preaching regarding the essentials of the Christian faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and its proofs. So what was the word of truth? What things were spoken with such power that the church began with revival from its inception? Peter preached the sermon that day, and the sermon was relatively short. He starts and verse 14. We're going to be picking it up in verse 22. And he goes right up through verse 47. You know, sermons need not be long nor contain scholarly treatments of languages to be effective for the conversion of the masses from death into life. Rather, I would argue that the sermons that we find in the Bible are actually quite short, and those which tend to be shorter often tend to cut to the heart quicker and more powerfully. Many preachers think that they will be heard like the Pharisees by their many words. But not always is this so. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. And I'm going to be reading the vast majority of this because I don't want to interrupt the inspired thought here. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. He will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. I suppose Peter probably paused for a second to give folks the import of that quotation from the 16th Psalm. Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. This was not fulfilled in David, but it was fulfilled in Jesus, Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Peter is speaking of himself, the disciples, many are in the upper room. You know, the Apostle Paul tells us that there was a time where the brethren were assembled and over 500 folks saw the resurrected Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. And then he challenges them, if you don't believe me, ask him. At the day of Pentecost, you know what, friends? They were all right there. Multitudes and multitudes of witnesses. And who of their enemies was able to challenge the fact that day? Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now then, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? The power of the preaching and the work of God the Holy Spirit was such that day that all of these folks believed. Right at that moment, they believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and they were saved. And so they cry out, what next? What now? What does the Lord desire of us? And then Peter said to them, repent. Now they heard, repented unto salvation. Repentance is something that accompanies salvation, but repentance is also a continual process. It's a continual repentance of sin and a turning toward the Lord God to seek and to do His will. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. In many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. By the way, friends, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you've made a confession, and you'd like to be baptized by water, come talk to me, and I shall not forbid. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They continue. You know, the attrition that we see in the local church is very sad evidence of the spiritual state of certain folks. A lot of folks going out the back door. Many, they were never converted. There may be a few who were young in the faith and they got offended by some triviality, not having been grounded in what it means to be a part of the family of God, the body of Christ, the unity of that. And you know what holds the body of Christ together? Four things that the saints continue doing. Hearing and studying the apostles' doctrine. That's this book, friends. That's the Bible, the authoritative word of God. Fellowship is the relational aspect that we have, one with another. That's all of those one another passages that we read in the Bible. Consider one another. Strive unto good works. Even more so, as we see the day approaching, not forsaking the assembly of the saints, the fellowship. The breaking of bread. Whatever that encompasses, that definitely encompasses the Lord's Supper, the communion table. That's why we do it every week. The apostles did it every week. We're on good ground, following their example. The apostles did it at least every week, by the way. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And in prayers. Corporate prayers, individual prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house. So they're having church meetings in different houses. They're doing visitation. Nothing was stopping them. And they eat their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. We want to add to the church daily, right? But we want to add to the church saved folks. We're not mincing the message here, friends. And we ought not to be mincing the message when we go out into the world and we share the hope of God. No. We talked about the who in the outset. Note the when. People were being saved daily. If you haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation, today's a good day to do it, right? Also, Monday is a good day to accept the Lord. Monday is a good day to preach the word, friends, in our homes, our families, our workplaces, our community. I know we're a little bit limited by that, but these masks may stop the droplets from going out, but we can still talk to them, right? So let's do the work of evangelists this coming week. Let's prepare our hearts for some more revival next weekend. We want to see Christians revived through these services. And when Christians get revived, Christians do what they're supposed to do. They get serious about the business of soul winning, and souls get saved, and the Lord adds to his church. That's how it works, friends. And that's what we pray that we see here. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you for passages such as these, and the book of Acts, chapter 2. We thank you, Lord God, for your word, for the challenge that goes forth. Lord, revive our hearts. If there is still junk taking space in our hearts and our minds, Lord, cast those things away. Aid us as we repent of these things. Our evil hearts, our evil thoughts, our evil deeds. And bring us back to you, Lord God. Help us, Lord, daily to see sinners the way you see them. As lost souls in need of compassion, in need of hearing spiritual truth, in need of salvation, heading for the lake of fire, if they continue down that road. Such were we. But we are thankful for your grace, your amazing grace. Which plucked us as brands from the fire and brought us into the place of your glorious salvation. We thank you for the privilege of being able to worship you today. May our hearts stay sensitive to hear what more is to be spoken from your word in this place, and to receive the elements of communion with pure hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.